Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn to John chapter 2 this morning. John chapter 2. I want to speak to you a message entitled, In 3 Days. In 3 Days. I want to begin reading with verse 12 of John chapter 2. Read through verse 22 as we consider this phrase, In 3 Days. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? Now notice verse 21, this is so important. But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. When it was the 3rd day, Luke 24, two disciples on the road to Emmaus, this is the 3rd day and he's not in his tomb. And all of a sudden the blinders were taken off. And we find here in John chapter 2 the same thing. The disciples remembered that he had said this unto them. And they what? Believed the scriptures. What does that mean they were doing in the meanwhile? Now, folks, I want us to focus for just a moment on that. What were they doing in the meanwhile? They're just living life. They were just living life. They were following Jesus and going to all the different destinations that he went to and all the events that are recorded in the Gospels. That was what they were doing. But they were not doing what? They were not believing the Scriptures and the Word that Jesus had said. I want us to think this morning, as we consider this passage of Scripture, when Jesus said 3 days, He meant it. 3 days. I've just finished up a book called Cross Currents, and Brother Matthew Barfield with International Partnership Ministries had mentioned this Ray Kerwood as a donor. He's 97 years old, fought in World War II, was a ship pilot with a merchant marine carrying aviation fuel across the Atlantic, made 25 trips in a tanker, was shot at with torpedoes, missed the ship. He has all kinds of stories to tell of storms and overtaking the ship with the waves coming up, almost being washed off the deck by huge waves. And yet God spared him every step of the way. And he lives in Pennsylvania now and is a supporter of International Partnership Ministries. But the title Cross Currents comes from his shipping days of dealing with that, driving that big tanker through the waters, plowing his way to England and back again over and over again. And he tells the story of whenever he was a child. They lived in West Virginia. His dad worked for a coal mine and became so sick with black lung that the doctor said, you've got to leave the state. You need to go to Nevada or Arizona, New Mexico, somewhere where the arid air will help you with your breathing. And so he picked up the whole family. They moved to Las Vegas, Nevada. And there they bought a very small house. They were not very rich people, very impoverished. And there they lived. His father never recovered and died of black lung there in West Virginia, having returned back to the state because he was not being improved at all with his breathing. He wanted to get back home. But as you know, Las Vegas is out in the desert for the most part. And they lived outside of town. And he met several boys that were his same age. at that particular time. Ray was around six or seven at that particular time. He had two friends that were in the same class at school that lived in the same neighborhood, and they went out into the desert area right out near their house, and they began to dig. And they dug down about 15 feet and made this trench, basically. They were doing this after school, and they dug this big trench, actually dug and burrowed out a kind of a hole. Now, if you know anything about desert sand, it shifts. And so it kept collapsing, and they couldn't understand why, so they would dig it out again. And so on Wednesday at school, the boys came up to Ray and said, "Hey, in 3 days, we get to go back to our trench. 3 days, we'll be out of school. We have Saturday all day. Be there at the trench." Well, Saturday came, and they came up, "Ray, you're not out at the trench. Come on out." "Mama says I can't come. Mama says I've got chores to do here at the house. I can't come. Maybe I can come later." And so the boy said, "All right, Ray, we're counting on you." And they took off. 3.5 hours later, they heard the sounds of sirens go by the house and continue on out into the desert. The mother was very concerned, said, I don't understand. Let's walk down." So she gathered up the kids and they walked down to the desert there where all the ambulances were and so forth like that. And Ray peered down into their trench, and there was a little hand sticking up. The entire thing had collapsed on top of the two boys, and both of them were dead. Ray Kerwood said, that image in my mind was embedded to me as a young boy. He said, "I didn't get saved till I was an adult. But that image of the reminder, in 3 days they thought they were going to go play. But in 3 days, those boys were dead." He said, "I've never forgotten that." He's 97 years old. He just wrote this book in 2018. Put down his memories of that. He said, "That's been one of the things that I thank God. My mama said, do chores, or I would have been with them in the bottom of that trench. I would have never gone to World War II. I would have never become an executive with Gulf Oil. I would never have started Rebecca Ministries, which was named after their daughter who died at age 20 of a brain aneurysm. Rebecca Ministries has been supplying missionaries with all kinds of things for the last 30 years with the endowment that he made because of the earnings that he had from Gulf Oil and the sale of another oil company that he started. He's been funding missionary work." And he said, 3 days has been in my memory since I was a child. He said, every time he reads this passage, John 2, and the other references that Jesus Christ made, in 3 days, I will raise it up. He says, I think of that little hand sticking up out of the sand. And he said, one day I'll get to see my friends again that died at age 6 and 7. Because he figured that they would go on to heaven because they were so young at that particular time and did not, as far as he knew, never made a profession of faith, but neither did he. He was spared to go on, and he's lived a long life. Folks, the Bible says that Jesus said that you will destroy this temple, but in 3 days I will raise it up. You know, I think about those 3 days and realize that my eternity hung in the balance during those 3 days. Todd Brainerd's eternity hung in the balance during those 3 days. Jesus Christ went to that cross willingly. The Bible says he was obedient unto his Father. And he went to that cross, and he went to that cross, and he shed his precious blood, and he was thinking about every one of us in this room and everybody that's ever lived in the past, present, and future. And the reason that he went to that cross is because you and I are what? We're sinners. Don't try to color it with some other word. Misguided doesn't work. Okay? Misguided doesn't work. Problematic doesn't work. Sinner works. to describe who we are. And it required that Jesus Christ go to that cross and die, but then be raised again 3 days later in victory so that I could be saved. I was saved in 1978 at the age of 14. I've given my testimony many, many times. This, underneath this carpet right here, is the concrete that had the tile on it that I walked on over and over again with every evangelist that came through. Special invitation, Todd Brainerd was up at the front getting saved. But Todd Brainerd wasn't saved. Todd Brainerd was just moving because Todd Brainerd felt he needed to do. I was scared to death of hell. That's what I was scared of. Scared to death of hell. Terrified by that idea of hell. My problem was not believing. Not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not trusting in His name. And at age 14, I got it settled. But it was not on any merits of Todd Brainerd, I can tell you. It was on the merits of the Savior who died on the cross, and in 3 days, during that time period, what did he do? Where did he go? The Bible records that he went to that place known as Hades. And there he preached. And he delivered out of that area those that believed on his name, and he brought them to heaven. That's the picture that's given to us in the Word of God. Those that did not believe, they remained behind. And he led, the Bible said, captivity captive. But he rose again the third day bodily from the tomb. I never leave out the word bodily. Because some people have a misconception about resurrection. Oh, it was just a spirit resurrection. No, it wasn't. It was a bodily resurrection. And he came forth with a new body. And that's the kind of body I'm going to have one day. Praise God. There won't be a Dexcom 6 attached to that body. Anybody know what a Dexcom 6 is? All right, yes. I've got a few people back there working the pharmacy. I've got a meter on there that's communicating with my cell phone all the time to tell me what my blood sugar is. And when it gets low, I have an alarm go off. Sometimes you've heard it, perhaps. I don't always hear it because if I don't have my hearing aids in, sometimes I don't get it. But some of you know what that is. I've got it attached so when my blood sugar goes low or if it goes high, I'm alerted so I know what to do. I won't have that in heaven. Amen. There won't be any more insulin shots. Amen. To keep this body alive because I'm going to have a body like unto Jesus Christ. You see, my whole eternity was based upon the work that Jesus Christ did in those 3 days. Now let's look at the account that's given to us here in this passage of Scripture because I want to quickly share with you some thoughts in this regard. Jesus had just performed a wonderful miracle. His first miracle at Cana. He turned the water into wine. And look at verse 11, please, because the Bible gives us an indication of how important that miracle was and what follows. Verse 11 says, "This beginning of miracles," by the way, that's the word signs. In the Greek language, it's the word that's translated signs. "This beginning of signs did Jesus at Cana of Galilee, and what did He do? He manifested forth His glory." Why did He change the water into wine? Because He wanted to demonstrate His glory. That He was 100% man, but He was also 100% God. And He did that miracle in the power of God's Holy Spirit. And by the way, He's been continuing to do miracles. Every time a soul comes to know Him as his personal Savior, a miracle of grace has taken place. And a sinner is taken from the kingdom of Satan and put into the kingdom of God. That's a miracle! And if you haven't had that miracle performed in your heart and life, would you please get that settled today on this Easter Sunday, this Resurrection Day? Don't play around with your eternal soul. Don't let another second go by that you don't know for sure. And don't be trusting in any works you've done or a baptism that you got wet in. None of those save. What saves is the finished work of Jesus Christ and His righteousness. That's what saves. That's what transforms. Oh, how important. So now He moves on to another work. And it may not seem miraculous, but it's important. Notice what he did after this. He went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. Now, by the way, don't confuse this with a similar event that happened and is recorded at the end of the book of Matthew. Right? Two different events. This happens at the beginning of his ministry that's recorded here in John 2. And the other one happens at the end of his ministry where he goes in and cleans house at the temple. He uses different language there than what you see here. So it's important for us to understand that. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, and by the way, the Bible is accurate when it describes what he did. You mean the sweet Jesus made a scourge of small... How can he do that? That's not gracious. That's not merciful. Let me tell you something. Sometimes making a scourge is the most merciful and gracious thing you can do when it comes to waking people up. Now, he had to do it twice because they didn't get it over that 3-year period. But he made a scourge of small cords, and he used that to drive out the animals that were there. Oxen, they're big, by the way. They're not little bitty things. They're big. So he drove them out. And he drove out the money changers because he had a big problem. His problem was how they were treating his father. Notice what he says. Take these things hence, verse 16. Make not my father's house a house of merchandise. Oh, this is so important. Different example from the later one that we see in the Scriptures. But what made Jesus so angry? Why did he do this? After performing a miracle here, and now he takes and he drives out the animals and the money changers that are in the Gentile court. By the way, that was all part of the temple. He drives them out because they've got the wrong reason why they're there. The wrong reason. This is my father's house. He says, my father's house. And you've turned it into a house of merchandise. You've literally made it into Walmart. Now, I like Walmart. I like convenience. I like being able to drive down to Winn-Dixie, not too far from my house, and I can get what I need, or Food Outlet. I like all these stores and so forth like that. They're very convenient. And so the Pharisees had made it a convenient thing for these merchandisers to come down with their animals, these money changers, to change the Roman money into shekels because they wouldn't accept the Roman money in the temple. They only accepted Hebrew money. So they had money. This is all convenient, is it not? Boy, we can move people in. These pilgrims come in from a long journey. They haven't been able to bring an animal sacrifice with them, so we'll make it convenient. We'll do it right here in the court of the Gentiles. They'll take their offering in, and everything will be fine. There was just one problem. They were ignoring the whole reason for being there, and that was to worship the Father. And they weren't doing that. Jesus could look at it and see all of your commotion, all of your activity, all this stuff that's done for convenience and buying and selling of these goats and sheep and so forth. Oh, it sounds so wonderful, but it wasn't. And Jesus said, get out of here. Move along. And whenever he did that, boy, it upset a lot of people. A lot of religious people. Give us a sign. He uses that word again. You know, that's translated in verse 11, miracles. It's the same word. Give us a sign of why you do this, since you've done all this. What's the sign? And what does he say? Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. And immediately all the mockers and all the religious people said, 46 years it took to build this place, and you're going to build it in 3 days? Ha! They missed the whole thing. In 3 days, I will build it up. He was referring to his body. He was referring to his work in your behalf and my behalf. That's what he was referring to, and they missed it. Do you know how many people are gathered in churches all across America on Easter Sunday that will miss the truth of God's Word because they've substituted religion in its place? They've already got their religion. They're very happy with it. And when you give them truth, they don't recognize it. They don't see it. I don't need that. I'm a religious person. Hell is going to be filled with religious people. Understand that. Hell will be filled with religious people who refuse to see what Jesus Christ did for them because they do not recognize the fact that they are sinners. I want you to think with me as we continue of the expose of the greed and religious greed that is exposed here. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Not just for the building itself, but for what the building represented, the worship of his Father. Some people can think up all kinds of reasons not to go to the house of God to worship. Got all kinds of things going on, all kinds of things. It doesn't take much. And I don't need to go today. What are you missing? It's not the four walls of this building, per se. This is just an area where we're meeting to do what? To worship the Father. Why do people have such a hard time doing that? Because some of them don't know the Father. Because they've never met the Son, who in 3 days solidified forever the future of sinners who believe on His name. Oh, it's so important for us to see this. But greed got in the way. What Jesus saw that day in the temple was not an isolated incident of questionable worship support. It was the outworking of greed cloaked with religion. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Matthew 15, verses 8 through 9. My Father is not being worshipped. Money is being worshipped in my Father's house. What is their response to Jesus' fury? This is so interesting to me. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou us, seeing that thou doest these things? By the way, this is not an encouraging response. Some evangelists say, oh, great! Look, they're responding to what I did. They're moving to Jesus. Where are they? These same people that are asking these questions are going to be the ones that are crying, crucify him! Crucify him! Now, this isn't a positive response. This is a negative response that comes from their mouths. Why is it evil and adulterous for them to seek a sign from Jesus? That's what the Lord said about it. It's a wicked and adulterous generation that seeketh after a sign. Give us a sign for why you're doing all these things. It's because when they ask for a sign, it's a trick. It's a deception. It's a deflection from the true motive. If we can deflect the issue onto His authority, then the light will not shine so brightly on our covetousness. Get this. What happened that day? He drives out the money changers, which they were getting a cut from, by the way, because they're the ones that arranged for all this to happen for the convenience of the worship of God. But they were deflecting from the true thing, as that was Jesus shining the light on their sin. Oh, give us a sign for what you are doing. And His response is so important. He says, in 3 days I will raise it up. Two levels of thought here. I will raise up my body in the resurrection after 3 days, which is exactly what He did. John 10, verses 17 through 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. He describes what His work was, what He was going to accomplish. But there's another level of meaning here. The material temple that they were in at that time would be destroyed. Jesus builds again in 3 days in the sense that He now replaces this temple and becomes the new place where everyone may meet God and fellowship with Him. We meet God and fellowship with Him through the person of Jesus Christ. Now, I know that the Bible records that there will be a new temple that will be built. And I know that during the millennium there will be sacrifices. The Bible makes that very clear. But they don't have the same purpose. Because Jesus Christ has paid forever that sacrifice for sin. Jesus Christ atoned for your sin and for my sin. During that work that was accomplished over 3 days, His death, the shedding of His blood, the giving up of the ghost, the going down into Sheol there to lead captivity captive, to rise again the third day bodily from the tomb with a brand new body that can move different places at will, that can pass through walls, that was a resurrection body like what you and I are going to have. The people that were there, seen of over 500, witnessed that body. That body that's still strong today as He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus Christ in 3 days accomplished everything that you need in this world. So, well, we got a lot of living to do. We got a lot of life to live. Let me tell you something. Life lived apart from Jesus Christ's purposes is not life lived. I know there's some that disagree with me. There are a lot of people that disagree with me. But living life apart from the purposes of God is not really living life. It's living a substitute, because that's exactly what's described in John chapter 2. These Pharisees and these people that were there were living life. But what they needed was eternal life in Jesus Christ. And they missed all that. They thought they were worshiping the Father by all this hubbub that was going on in the temple, and Jesus threw all that under the bus. He said, "You're not worshiping Him at all. Get out of here! You're here for a different purpose and a different reason." Now, you might call that cruel and you might call that insensitive. I call it shining the light of the Word of God on our serious sin and our need of the Savior. In 3 days, the work was accomplished. When He came forth from that tomb, there came forth the powerful, sovereign ruler of all things. And the Bible says that all authority is given unto Him in heaven and in earth. This same Jesus who was abused and beaten and mauled because of their hatred for Him is the same Jesus that rose victorious and right now bears in His body the marks of what my sin did to Him. Notice I didn't say your sin, I said my sin. That's the way you have to view it. My sin! Put those nail prints in His hand. My sin! Put the thorn upon His brow. My sin drove the spikes into His feet. But His power can deliver me from my sin. And on this Resurrection Sunday, I don't want you to miss this glorious truth. In 3 days, I will raise it up. That means victory. That means deliverance. That means hope. And we know right now that this world is missing all three apart from Jesus Christ. There's not enough money in the bank to save a soul. There's not enough encouragement from the government to save a soul. There's not enough things that we can do. There's not enough checks that the government can cut and send to your bank account that's going to make you fit for heaven. They can't do it. And yet people today are putting their faith and trust in something that cannot deliver them. I want you to see this in closing. Verse 22, when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture. What did they remember? They remembered what he said in verse 19, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. That's what they remembered. That's what they remembered. And they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. You know what happened? Faith was produced. Faith was produced. Faith cometh by hearing. Can you finish the rest of it with me? And hearing by the word of God. That's how it works, folks. Don't turn a deaf ear to the Word of God this morning. Would you cry out to Him? The one who forever sealed the glory of the knowledge of Jesus Christ in hearts to deliver them from their sin. What a beautiful picture is given to us here. May we not be as the stubborn Israelites that continued on their way. Give us a sign for all of this. They weren't interested in a sign. They wanted to divert away from the rebuke that Jesus Christ was giving, the rebuke that they needed to turn to Him. Don't turn away from Jesus Christ this morning. Turn to Him and cast yourself at His feet, because He is the marvelous Savior of sinners, and His righteousness is enough to take care of your sin debt this morning. Father in heaven, I thank You for this special day, this resurrection day that reminds us that we are not without hope, but instead we have all the hope there is to have. Not a hope-so kind of hope, but a hope that is a reality. It's true. It's real. Maybe there's someone here this morning that's struggling with this fact. They never really have come to faith and come to grips with the truth of the fact that they're a sinner. Maybe they think they're religious enough. Maybe they think they've done enough good deeds. Maybe they think that they're following the typical religious line, that they've done enough to earn heaven. But that's not how one goes to heaven. We don't earn heaven. We receive it as a gift because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary's tree and the resurrection that resulted. Now, Father, I pray that You would draw precious souls this morning on Your day, that You would do a work in the hearts of those that have been stubborn in pursuing their own pathway, running down the broad way that leadeth to destruction. Lord, they need to be directed to the narrow way that leads unto life. And I pray that You'd be pleased to draw precious souls. I wonder here this morning on this Easter Sunday if there's someone who said, Pastor Brainerd, I'm lost. I need to be saved this morning. Would you slip up that hand? I want to pray for you. Now, my prayer won't save you, but I'd like to see you after the service, because I want to tell you how you can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Is there anyone here this morning that say, Pastor Todd, I need to be saved? Anyone at all? Father, I pray that You would work in hearts and that Your Holy Spirit would bring about conviction of sin and pull precious souls unto Yourself this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.